I just want to read you one verse. So all I'm going to read is one verse. And it's found in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. One verse. And this I say, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Did I read the wrong one? I got Galatians and I want Galatians.
Colossians.
I beg your pardon. Forgive me, y'all. I'm hillbilly and hillbillies get confused sometimes. I read it Galatians and she reads it Colossians. So, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with what kind of words?
Enticing
words. Thank you, Father, for your word, which will not return void, but shall accomplish whereunto you sent it, and shall prosper in that very thing. I want to talk a little bit tonight. If I were to take you very back to the very beginning, that's the only thing that the devil knows how to do. Did you realize that? Go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and when the enemy came in, and Adam fell, and Eve fell, what was her first say? She said, the devil did beguile me. Don't you know, with enticing word, let me tell you something. That's what he's using today.
Yes, it is.
He's enticing people with words, he's beguiling them, and people are falling into his trap. Did God say? Wasn't that what the devil said to Eve? Did God say? Yes, God said. The problem is we don't know what God said. That's the problem with a lot of Christian people. We haven't read the manual to find out how to war a good warfare. We haven't read the manual that told us to fight the good fight of faith. We haven't read the manual that said pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit, whereby you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Not some of them, but all of them. It's time to go to war, like I told you this morning. Pick up that word and use that word. The devil doesn't want you praying for your children. He doesn't want you pleading the blood over your children. He doesn't want you believing God. He doesn't want you standing toe to toe with him and saying, get your hands off my children. Get your hands off my finance. Get your hands off my grandchildren. Because the word of God made me a promise. And that's what I'm standing on, is the promises of God. And they shall never fail me. You see, we don't know his promise. We don't know his word. We don't take the time to immerse ourselves in his word. Get into the word. Get into the word. Get saturated. What does he say? He said in Psalms 91, no evil befall me, no plague cometh nigh my dwelling. No evil befall me. Do you realize when Jesus was hanging there, it said he could have called all the angels and they would have taken him off? And what does he say in Hebrew 11? Verse 14, Hebrews 1, verse 14, he said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for, not to, it says for those that are heirs. You have a band of angels that all you've got to do is learn what the word of God says and dispatch those angels. What are they? They are the angels in Psalms 103 that says angels that excel in strength that hearken to the word of God. Speak the word of God over your children, over your finances, over the church, over your people that you're praying for. Speak the word of God. Know the word of God. Speak it, and the angels will dispatch to do that which has got to be done. But if you don't know what to say, you're whining and crying to God, and the angels stand there waiting for you to dispatch them. They can't move without the word unless the commandment. The commander has already given the word. You said, when did he do that? When he hung there and said, it is finished. When he said, it's finished. What did he say he came to do? to destroy the works of the devil. He said, it's finished. He destroyed them. Why are we still letting him conquer us? Because we don't know the word. We haven't stood in there and done battle. We're going to run because we don't know to whom I yield myself. To him I become a servant. I've got to submit myself to God and resist the devil. There comes a time, people. Listen, I can remember when I was growing up. And when I was growing up, there was a bully in the school that I went to. And every time I would go to school, the bully would always make sure he waited for me outside of school. I'd figure out how to get out the back door. I'd figure out how to get out the gym door. I'd figure out how to get around him. And one day, Brother Frank, I'd had enough. And McKinley, if you've ever been to McKinley High School, when you come out of McKinley High School, there's two rows of picker bushes. They're about 4 feet high. And I come out of them picker bushes, and this man met me at those picker bushes, and when he did, I had had enough. I just reached out, and I went, bam! And when I hit him, he flew into those picker bushes. Do you know something? Me and Dale became the best friends there ever was. I took a stand. You've got to take a stand. You cannot allow the devil. The word of God says, he said that word shall prosper whereinto he sent it. Where does that word sent? Into your heart. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen, if you're going to be in worry, worry's a sin. Ooh. Ooh. Don't like that, huh? That's all right. Listen. You know, you done voted. You got me 2 more years. You done voted. I can preach it, baby. I can preach it. You see, I love to preach the word. You know that? There's nothing I like. I'm telling you, teaching and preaching, that's my middle name. I love it. I love the unction of the Holy Ghost. When he starts coming on me, I'm telling you, we need to be laying hands on the sick. We need to be standing our ground. We need to be claiming God's word. He said, I would that thou would prosper and be in health, even as your soul.
My soul prospers. Yes.
Then get off my finances.
Yes.
You know, take your purse sometime, take your billfold, and tell the Lord, I'm glad it's fat and full. Well, you can't do that? Well, you don't. I will. I do it. I do it. Every time I turn around, I think about it. I take my billfold and I said, thank God it's fat and it's full. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which I think or ask, according to the power that's working in me. What power? The power of my salvation. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Word. All three in one. Don't you know Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Man, when you get them all working, what else do you need? If God be for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm not in this world but for a season. And I got too excited, Brother Frank. I'm just passing through this old place, Brother Roger. This is not my home. That home on Surfwood is just a temporary dwelling place. It's not my home. My Lord went to prepare a place for me, and he shall come again. And when he comes again, then I'm going to my home there. That's my home. This is just a... This is a rental. This is a rental. That's not my purple. You know, this is just a rental. I'm just paying rent on this. I pay rent on it every month and the taxes too. But one of these days, God's going to say, hey, boy, come up here. And this old gravity that holds this feet down on the ground is going to say, no, you're not going. I'm going to say, I'm gone. You can't hold me any longer. I'm gone. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet him in the air. To meet him in the air. You know, not on the ground. You see, when you look at the word in John, John said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth. What's the truth? The truth is the word. Sanctify them by thy truth, and thy truth is thy word. You see, We've come to the place where we think that this lullaby they sing called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep is all right. It's not all right. It's time to hold the fort, not give ground. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He built his church. Peter came down out of the upper room and preached, and when he did, 3,000 were saved. A few more days later, 5,000 were saved. A few more days later, 3,000 were saved. People, guess what? He said those should be added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Didn't say Church of God, Pentecostal Church of God, Methodist, Baptist. It said Church of God, God's church. God's church. But I'll tell you something about God's church. Every one of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Cornelius said, we've not so much as heard if there be a Holy Ghost. But yet when he was giving of alms, he was a just man. They said they laid hands on him and prayed. His whole house, do you remember reading? His whole house got saved. And when his whole house got saved, his whole house got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the power that works in you and me. You see, this old world thinks it's got us. It ain't got us. You know, I read today somewhere in Galatians where it even said that he sustains the things that he created. Do you know what that means? That means, just like I've said, whenever he was walking on the water wasn't holding him. He was holding the water when he walked across it. When the wind started to blow, no wonder he could say, oh, lay down someplace. You know? Listen, when the enemy rises up, he said, I will raise up a standard. Listen, the standard is you, and it's got to come out of your mouth. He said, you're made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. How do you testify if you don't speak out the word? Well, I'm not like you, Pastor. I can't believe, you know, nobody told you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If my wife can get up like she does, when my wife was so backward, listen, she'd never been to a restaurant. When I met her, she was 19, almost 20 years old. I took her to the very first restaurant she'd ever been to. I took her to another place, but we won't discuss that. But she'd never been to a restaurant. She wouldn't say boo if she was scared. She didn't do that. I'll tell you, last Sunday morning, I wouldn't have thought she was the same, Bonnie. You know, would you think she couldn't say boo last Sunday morning the way she was preaching the word? Why? Because the anointing of God will change you from quiet to loud. The anointing will change you from being one that can't speak to being a witness. What did he say? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power.
Power.
And you must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not half-heartedly, but diligently seek him. It means I've got to spend a little time. How do I make sure this relationship here is good? I spend a little time with her.
Yes.
How do I make sure this relationship is good? I spend the time. Reading, studying, listening to tapes, even talking to people that know the Lord. Listen, you're built up in the Spirit even by people when you sit down to fellowship and you start talking about the good things of God. The next thing you know, all of a sudden you start feeling things around you. You start feeling the goose pimples running up down your back. Why? Because where two or three are gathered together, there he's in our midst. That's why you fellowship with Christians. You may associate with people in the world to win them, but you fellowship with Christians. So often,
So often we think that we have arrived. We haven't arrived. We've just taken a step. We're not there yet, Kyle. We still got a long way to go. If God tarries, we got from here to heaven. And that's a long way. It's not here yet. It's not down here yet. He said, look, and he said, I see New Jerusalem and a new heaven coming down. Do you know why you got to have a New Jerusalem and a new heaven? Do you know why? Because sin has been in the old heaven and sin has been in Jerusalem, and he said, no sin shall enter therein. So he's got to create a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because there's been sin. And he's got to clean it up. And he will clean it up. We're just here. You know why he's going to clean? He's going to take us out so he can clean up the mess. He's going to take us out so he can clean up the mess. I told my son, you know, I said, when you used to cook, you know, you'd make such a mess on the stove. I'm telling you, when my son would cook, I'm so glad that my other son cleaned it up before Bonnie got home, because if she'd have seen it, woo, doggy. But I mean to tell you, there was grease here, grease there, just from frying one hamburger. You'd have thought he fried 20 hamburgers, you know? He fried one hamburger, and the stove looked like a campground stove. And Paul was the one that had to clean it up. But you know, I told him, I said, son, the same way that it was cleaned up is the same way God's going to clean up the mess that man's made of it. You know, don't think Obama, I'm sorry, I shouldn't use a name. Don't think the president's going to change everything. He's not. Don't think Congress is going to change everything. They're not. You know who's going to change it? Only one person can change what we see here today. Oh, they can make adjustments, but they can't change it. There's only one that can change it, and his name is Jesus. And one of these days, the trump of God's going to sound, and we're going home. Yes, to give him space so he can clean up. He don't want us here getting in his way while he's cleaning things up. Can't run the vacuum cleaner if somebody's standing around with their feet in the way. Can't wash dishes if you got somebody standing in front of the sink. You can't dust the windows if somebody's looking out the window. They've got to get out of the way. We've got to get out of the way so he can work. We've got to get out of the way so he can work. You see, oh, he's going to work all right. I'm going to tell you he's going to work. You know, the thing of it I like is that back here it said in Revelation, it says, go back and do your first works over again. I told a sister the other day, she says, you think I should get baptized again? I said, did you backslide? She said, yeah. I said, then you need to get back to that. She says, well, you know, what's that? I said, water baptism is nothing more than an outward sign of an inward work. All it does is tell the people that you're back where you should be. You can get baptized in every church in the area. It doesn't mean a thing if there's not been a baptism in the heart. You see, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. Who's going to touch you under the shadow? You think the enemy's going to come in under the shadow of God? The enemy doesn't want anything to do with God. He's already defeated him. You think he wants to get whipped again? He knows he has but a short time in the first. He's only got a short time. In the book of Isaiah, it said he was cast to the earth. And when he said, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil is cast down, knowing he has but a short time. And every time you read in the Word and you see what the signs are of the coming of the Lord, the devil was there whenever these things were made manifest, and he knows what the time is, he knows what the signs are, and he knows how much time he's got left. Why do you think he's fighting so hard? But you know something? The only thing I have to fight is the good fight of faith. I have to walk by faith, not by sight. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said, and I've used it before. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I know. Are you moved by what you know? You know, think about it. You've got 19 verses of Scripture that claim your children and your grandchildren. You've got over 51. Do you realize there's over 51 verses in the Bible pertaining to your finances? Uh-oh. 51 verses saying that he would that thou would prosper. You see, we let the enemy think that we can't have anything. And the Bible says the wealth of the Christian is laid up with the sinner. So tell him to get off your finances. I do every morning. I tell him, get off my finances. Bring my money home. You know? Bring my money home. It's mine, not yours. But I'll tell you something. Don't think that when you get it, you can use it for 20 houses, 6 Cadillacs, and 14 diamond rings, and 6 horses, and 15 yachts, and all that. You better be using it for what God intended. God gives you the money. God gave you the finances. God gave you the money to win souls. To meet the needs of the people. And if you don't believe there's people out there with need, I'll let you take some of the calls I get during the week. Mothers that are wanting money to pay rent. Mothers that are wanting money to pay heat. Mothers that are wanting money to take care of food. I tell them, you come and we'll give you food. The first time. See, I'm kind of funny that way. I'll give you food, all you can carry, all you can eat the first time. But if you don't come to church, if I don't see you for 6 months and you call me and you want another dish out, you ain't getting it. I'm just that way. You know, if you come here and you need it, we should support you. We should help you all we can. If we have to give you all that food that's in that cupboard and we have to bring in more to give you more, then that's what we should do. But not if you're not willing to put out a little effort to meet Jesus. I didn't tell you had to come to the altar. I said come to church. Because I'll tell you something. If you come to church, you'll get right or you'll get out. Ooh, that's kind of stiff, ain't it, huh? I'm going to tell you. You either get right or you run from God. You don't stay. Listen, if the power of God's moving like it is in our services, people, they're going to either come in and get their life straightened out or they're going to run because they can't stand to be under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can only stand to be under that so long. I'll tell you what, I went to church for a few times and I heard the message of God. I heard the anointing. When the choir would sing, the choir would sing, and when they would sing, the power of God would come down. And one night when the power come down, I either had to run for the door and get out of that place or I had to run to the altar. I choose to run to the altar and I run to the altar. And 38 years ago, I'm still there at the altar, brother, right? I didn't run to the front door, but I'll tell you one thing. When you get the anointing and you get the Holy Ghost and you get it operating in your life and you go someplace, people will either leave or they'll walk around you. They'll walk around you. They'll walk. I can walk down the mall and people can, and they'll walk around me. Not because I'm big and I'll knock them over. I only do that to those that have got a stubborn streak and they think they're going to knock me off my feet. I stand my ground. I sing the song to them. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. You know, but I'll tell you something, people. Whenever I have people that come up to me and they ask me, what's different about you and your wife? What's different? What is it that's different about you? You can tell them it's the power of God working in your life. When I go to the valley now, I won't pray for some people, you know, Brother Roger, because there's nobody behind them. And for some reason or other, every time I lay hands on them, boy, they hit the floor. I am getting tired of holding them up, reaching over a counter, trying to hold people up. You know, if you want prayer, come to church. I have people that call me. Come to church. I'd be more than glad to pray for you. Come to church. You know? Because you see, when they come to church, they'll hear the word. They'll feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost can minister to them. The Holy Ghost can move. You see, it's the Holy Ghost that brings conviction to the hearts of men and women. It's the Holy Ghost that causes you to be changed. It's the Holy Ghost. It's not somebody preaching or somebody teaching or somebody singing. It's only if they're under the unction of the Holy Ghost. If they're under the unction of the Holy Ghost, when they sing, it reaches out and it gets a hold of the heart of people. If they're under the anointing when they're preaching the word goes in and convicts them of their sin. The Holy Ghost convicts them. Only the Holy Ghost can cause them to come to the altar.
Hallelujah.
You see, you can't make them come to the altar. You can't make them change their life. The only thing you can do is believe God and pray for them. Plead the blood over them, you know. You really want to get them shook up, pray God visit them. God visit them. Make a physical appearance. Make a physical appearance. Pray God make a physical appearance. Let them see an angel. Lord, you send an angel to speak to my tongue. Tell you people, like I told you before, we have the ability, we have the authority, but if we don't use it, you know, it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. It's like the man on the ship that I told you about, that he came from Europe to the United States. He came on board the ship and he stayed on board the ship and he stayed in his room the whole time they sailed from Europe to the United States. When he got to the United States, the porter was cleaning up the deck and the man came out of his cabin and he said, "Mr. So-and-so, why haven't we seen you in the diner? Why haven't we seen you here and there?" He said, "Well, son, didn't you know I only had enough money for the ticket?" He said, "Well, mister, didn't you realize that when you bought the ticket, all the benefits came with the ticket? Don't you know when you accepted Jesus Christ?" He said, "Forget not all my benefits, who healeth all thy diseases." The benefits belong to the Christians. God will heal some sinners only because he wants to, but the benefits belong to the Christian. The healing belong to me. The benefits belong to me. When I hired in at GM, after I got my 90 days in, certain benefits came to me. Don't you know that once you accepted Christ, the benefits became yours? They're yours. Because he paid the price for them. The union negotiated for my benefits, but Jesus bought all my benefits. Hallelujah. He bought them all. There's not a doctor in the world that can heal you. He can only treat you. You can go to every specialist in the world, but he can't heal you. Only God can heal. Only God can get a hold of a young man or young girl that's on drugs, living away from home, on drugs continually. And only God can say, "Go home." And they get up and they go home. Why? "I don't know, I just came home." I know why. Because God said it's time. Don't you know what God's word says? He said, "I gave you authority over all the power of the enemy." Exercise it. Use it. Don't set on it. Don't use it for a flower press. It's to be used. You know? But I'll tell you something. It's there. But do you know it's there? Do you know it's there because I said it, or do you know it's there because you read it? You see, I can say it. It doesn't mean anything. You can hear it, and when you go out of here, you can forget what I said. Oh, it's easy to take when the Holy Ghost is in the presence. when Holy Ghost is moving in our midst and the anointing's there and we think, oh, yeah, I got that. Oh, yeah, I get that. I receive that. But guess what? When we get outside of here, remember, it said that the thief cometh immediately to rob, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, people, when you read this and it becomes rhema, living, it jumps in here. It stays in here. When it's in here, then there's not a man that can take it out. There's not a demon that can steal it from you. Why? Because it's anchored in there. And he says, it doesn't matter if it's an angel, a demon, or whoever it is, comes preaching any other word than this one that Paul preached. And Paul wrote them here for us so we know what he preached. He wrote 14 letters in the New Testament so we know what he preached. So if we know what he preached and somebody comes preaching something else or somebody comes telling us something else, then we need to tell him, get behind me, Satan. I know what the word says and I shall not be moved into that area. That's what the body of Christ has got to do. If you want to know how the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church, it's when the church starts taking the word of God and standing on it and not giving in to whims and whams of every little one that comes along. Doesn't matter who they are. They can be the most renowned preacher in the world. They can be Billy Graham. But if he preaches anything but this, and I'm not saying he did or ever did. I'm just saying, if he came and preached anything but this, I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to receive it. Do you know why? Because I know that I know that I know. You see? You can't take it away from me. 2 months after I got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a man that tried to tell me that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was not for today. I told him something right to his face. I said, you done come too late. Because 2 months ago I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, so you're done too late. You know? And you know the funny thing about it? Sister Jan, he had two daughters and a son-in-law living in that house there where we stopped in Kentucky. And would you believe that they figured out a way to meet me in the hall or something when he wasn't around, ask me about the Holy Ghost. Ask me about the baptism. Ask me about speaking in tongues. They were hungry. And I'll tell you something, and I may be wrong, but one of them got the Holy Ghost and backslid. And I believe that's why she went through what she went through. Divorce, everything. She went through things that you wouldn't believe. And I believe it's because she turned loose of what God gave her. Stand with me if you will.